Blog Talk Radio.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel, put your feet on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Jesus, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. And if these wings don't fail me, I will meet you anywhere. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, meet me, mother and father. Meet me down the river road. And mama, you know that I'll be there when I check in, my Lord. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
All right, everybody, that was a little Johnny Cash, Ain't No Grave. And this is Fed Up Frank, brought to you by Patriot Families. And I will be your host filling in for Mr. Frank Winkle, who I hope we hear from soon. As our family members know, Frank had a stroke a little over a year ago and is still recovering, but at least he is recovering in Florida. All the same, I wanted to play that song as an intro tonight. Just kind of set my mood. You know, I look at everything that's going on around us and the overwhelming stupidity. I don't know what else to call it, but just what it is. It's stupidity. People are stupid. It's not a matter of being ignorant of the facts. They refuse to acknowledge the facts when they're presented. The truth means nothing. We truly have come to a point in time in our society where the dialectic diapraxis, the Hegelian philosophy, the indoctrination has reached a fever pitch. And the truth is subjective. It's whatever you want it to be. There is no such thing as truth anymore. And it's creating chaos, not only here in the United States, but around the world. And it's only going to lead to more. You know, we can strip away the abject theft of the system as a whole, whether it be here in the United States or elsewhere abroad in Europe, or even in the Muslim countries. strip all that away, and let's just get down to the basic fundamentals of everyday life, there's no truth. There's no reality. Reality is whatever we make it. And it's just subjective, and that is the whole Hegelian dialectic. That there's really no right or wrong, there's just how you feel. And so as society, we justify all different manner of immoral behavior. We don't condemn it. And those that do condemn it, well, we're held out to be bigots or racists or God only knows what. While the real racists that are hiding behind the scenes, they don't even acknowledge that they are racist. Yeah, I'm talking about Jiskey or whatever the hell his name is. You know, if you tuned in to Mike's show Friday night, you heard some of that. And the circular logic, the circular reasoning that occurs in the minds of these people is staggering. It's unsettling. I don't know how to deal with it, quite honestly. It's, you know, Ronald Reagan said, you cannot reason with unreasonable people. And when people don't recognize, or they refuse to recognize when they're wrong, well, then that makes them a fanatic, at the very least. And those of us that have supported people like Ron Paul, we are accused of being fanatics. And I would say to some extent, we are fanatics. We're fanatically grasping, trying to cling to the truth. And, you know, it really struck me yesterday and today that we're living in bizarro upside down world where reality and truth just have no bearing in everyday life. And it's hard to reconcile that concept. And it's also hard to try and remain humble and not just be a jerk, for lack of a better term. When people just espouse ideologies or present complete fabrications as if they were factual evidence. We get enough of that from our government. And speaking of government, I posted a link a little earlier before we had a couple of guests here. I see we've got some guests back in the chat room, so I'm going to post it again. I know Mike got it. It's an article about the subsidized cell phone program in Ohio, and I wonder how many folks actually realize that when they pay their phone bill, they're subsidizing free cell phones or reduced cost cell phones and cell phone access to folks that are on the government dole. And, you know, a very interesting question arose out of this whole thing, and I'm sure everyone's heard the clips playing of the woman in Ohio. I got my Obama phone. If you're on food stamps and all that, you know, everyone's surely by now heard that crazy clip. And the question was, are these people being text messaged on their Obama phones? Are they being sent text saying, hey, show up over here, we're going to have a rally or a protest? And I would say that, you know, it's quite possible. I don't know that it's true. so I'm not going to present it to you as truth or fact. I'll leave that to others to do that kind of thing. But it does raise some serious questions. And you know, I spoke before about the mentality of our country, the voting populace, if you will. And looking at the most recent report, it's a dead heat between Obama and Romney. And that's really sad. It saddens me to see that out of the likely voters, which is not a huge percentage of our population to begin with, but out of the likely voters, roughly half or a little less than half want to vote for Obama, and the other half or roughly less than half want to vote for Romney. And you just have to shake your head and wonder, what the hell have these people been doing for the last 4 years, the last 10 years, the last 20 or 30 years, that they cannot see the reality of the situation? I was reading on the Drudge Report, just, you know, one after another, and of course, they make their ratings on putting out all the bad news. But we see the top stories: Afghan soldier kills two more American troops, string of Iraq car bomb blasts kill at least 32, Muslim protesters torch Buddhist temples in Bangladesh, and so on and so forth. And then we move right on down the line to riots in Greece, riots in Spain, France getting their panties in a wad over the austerity measures to come. And you have to wonder, why are they just now getting upset? Why are these people just now pissed off and upset that their government is going to tax the crap out of them even more than they already were, and they're going to cut spending on government programs? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, anyone with a little bit of gray matter running around between their ears can do mathematics, just basic simple math. You don't have to add all the zeros onto the numbers to calculate government figures. And we know that they certainly manipulate the figures. When we look at our CPI, our Consumer Price Index, and our gross domestic product, any number group you want to look at. You want to look at unemployment figures. You want to look at housing starts. I mean, they're manipulated. They take the data out that they don't want, the data that tends to show the truth. They jostle the numbers around and come up with a number they want. And while we're on the topic, I want to talk about QE3, which I've heard some folks discussing, but I haven't heard anyone actually mention the fact that QE3, if we're to believe that the government is doing what they say they're doing with the money, that is, your government is putting you in debt to buy bad mortgages to the tune of $40 billion a month. Now, I don't know how many bad mortgage loans you can buy with $40 billion a month, but I would venture to say that it's quite a few. And I would venture to say that those bad mortgage notes represent a lot of homes. The point I'm trying to make is that your federal government ends up owning a whole lot of property within the United States of America, within the several states. I don't see this as a good thing in any way, shape, or form. A long time ago, a man told me about what was going to happen, or what he presumed was going to happen. And we talked about a transference of wealth and transferring ownership of wealth to the bankers and to the government. And, you know, I see Mike and Green Dog talking about a $16 trillion debt. And while it is massive, that's peanuts. Absolute peanuts. The $16.3 trillion national debt is peanuts compared to what is actually out there in obligations. Obligations that are backed by all the slaves working here on the plantation. I don't know how else to say it to you. I don't know what else to call it. If you can come up with a better name than the slaves on the plantation, when you get up and go to work in the morning, and someone in Ohio gets the benefit of part of the money you pay for your own damn phone bill so that they can have a cell phone, and the government and the state take 42% of what you earn, and you're left with the remainder, I don't know what you call that other than slavery. When you can attach a parasite to the fruits of another man's labor, he's no more than a slave. At least the slaves were provided for. But I guess then again, I digress, because aren't we doing the same thing? Except the slaves we're providing for, they're not working. They're not getting up and going to work. They're kicked back in the masses' house, eating all the ribs and grapes, and drinking all the wine, while the rest of us suckers are out here working, trying to earn a living, trying to be decent, honest human beings. Somewhere along the line, we're going to reach a breaking point. I don't know where that is. Maybe when they're knocking on your door. I like to think I'm like most patriotic Americans out there. I don't want to hurt anyone. But I'm not happy with the situation. And I just wonder, how far does it have to go before we quit? Before we just quit. We just quit playing the game altogether. If anybody wants to call in, you got any comments or want to talk about this or any other topic, our call-in number is 646-378-0321. Again, that's 646-378-0321. And, you know, you call in. I don't care if you agree with me, you disagree with me, you want to argue. You'll get on just like everybody else. I don't play favorites with anyone. I'll let you speak your piece. Unless you're a damn troll, you know, coming in here to make obscene comments, then your ass will get booted immediately. Otherwise, you know, call in and let's see what's on your mind. I'm kind of doing an open forum tonight. I really don't have any plans for the show. And that's my fault, and I apologize for that, but it's just been, you know, I've just been feeling kind of off lately. And I don't really want to make the show about me. I'm not very exciting. I lead a pretty boring life. What makes me think we will what, Green Dog? Call in? Well, I'm hoping you'll call in. Or do you mean disagree with me? Well, nothing makes me think you'll disagree with me. But, you know, I'm not here just to preach to the choir, and I'm always accepting of other ideas or ideologies. I'll listen to anyone's argument. So I actually kind of embrace the debate when I have folks that disagree with me. It gives us a chance to air out our differences and figure out where we're going wrong. I certainly don't have everything right. Yeah, Romney sucks. Well, she did get that one right. She did get that one right, Green Dog, when she said Romney sucks. That's true. That is very true. The Germans just kind of rolled over, but you see, they had an enemy in the Jew. And what makes me think we will reach our breaking point? Well, you know, that's a good question. We're certainly being pushed in several different directions, or pulled in several different directions at this point. And I know a lot of folks, like myself, we are reaching a breaking point where we're getting to the point where we're sick and tired of carrying everybody else on our backs and being treated like second-class citizens for doing so. You know, it's me and you and everyone else that gets up and goes to work every morning and does a job, provides a service to other people, that gives half their money to the friggin' government, that allows these delusional zealots to get their damned Obama phones and sit on their fat behinds and ride around in their damn Escalades and talk a bunch of crap, calling everybody else suckers, right? At some point, it's going to break. At some point, the monetary system's going to break. And when it does, the gravy train's going to dry up. And when the gravy train dries up, well, it's not going to be pretty. I went to a local gun show here this morning down at the Atlanta Motor Speedway, and I saw a t-shirt, and I got to get one. You know, there's been a lot of folks tongue-in-cheek discussing the zombie apocalypse. The guy was wearing a t-shirt that says, "I can't wait until you're a zombie." And it just kind of had to, it made me chuckle. And I thought, man, I got to get me one of those. And I see we've got Michael on the line. If I can get this computer to function properly, we'll bring him in. Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
Great, Ron. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm, you know, just trying to be mellow right now, brother.
I hear you. And, you know, every time I come to your show, I always learn something different. Now, I did speak about QE3, as you know, a few weeks ago, and I gave the details of the Federal Audit Reserve, which most people didn't even know even took place. And now, you know, I just learned about this true obligation, and then I quickly went, took me 2 seconds in Google, and it's over $65 trillion.
Yes, sir.
And you know, I think Green Dog is right, that we're not going to reach our breaking point as far as, you know, like putting the brakes on it. And can you just imagine when they seize our money? And they will. I really think they're going to seize whatever they can electronically. That's our 401ks, that's your mutual funds, that's your checking accounts. I just think they're just going to have to suck it all. And what we're seeing in Greece and Spain is going to pale into comparison as to what we may see here.
Well, you know, Green Dog has made a very valid point, and it's not something that I've actually, I guess I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about it, but we have talked about it many times on the show, and he said, you know, he doesn't have my hope that the people will resist, and I have to agree with him. And I don't think that, you know, I said it last night on Michael's show, I don't think that people are going to push back, the majority are going to push back until they're pushed into a corner, their back's against the wall, and there's a gun to their head.
Right, but then it's too late.
Right, you're exactly right.
because this isn't 1776. And, you know, I've said that repeatedly. You know, we're not going to go, this isn't musket to musket, cannonball to cannonball. There are drone planes over our heads, and they're going to be massively increased for a reason. There is a reason why that the Seattle, Washington Social Security Office purchased 174,000 worth, you know, 174,000 rounds. There's a reason. You don't just do this per happenstance. There is a reason why they're doing this.
Oh well, now, Mike, let's be honest. They did put out a press release that, you know, they're just doing bulk ammunition purchases because, well, gosh, they got a lot of training to do, you know, and all their agents and stuff, they have to have ammunition, and they expend most of that during the year. And if you believe that, then, you know, I've got some great oceanfront out in New Mexico for sale.
Right, and they wouldn't, well, let's pretend that that statement is even possibly true. They wouldn't have ordered gold points. I mean, if it was just for target shipping, people that own guns, when they go into the range, they use the cheapest gun, you know, it's just throwaway. But when you're carrying quality. So,
yes, sir.
Right there is a telltale sign.
Well, you know, their officers have to have that hollow point ammunition, you know, to penetrate the paper targets.
Oh, naturally.
You know, I know in my 45, if I don't use hollow points, you can barely break the paper. It's crazy.
I know. I mean, I don't know why they say just keep pointing the gun, you know, downfield, because, I mean, hey, if it can't penetrate paper, it's not going to penetrate human flesh. So.
Yeah,
hey.
Exactly.
But I guess people want to buy that jive. And I also, like what you said earlier, how about fanaticism, and what we saw on my show Friday night and what have you, is that as we get closer to the election, slander and absolute nastiness and vileness towards Ron Paul and his supporters are growing. It's like week by week, they're just getting nastier and unprovoked. I mean, Ron, I'm sitting in chat rooms, I'm listening, and I'm hearing Paul Tards and Paulistinians and we're cultists just sitting in the room, just sitting there. And it's just getting more and more vile as we get closer.
And, you know,
to me, that's fear.
Well, not only that, it's a complete rejection of the truth. I mean, seriously. These people absolutely, positively are incapable of embracing the truth. They wouldn't know it if it walked up and kicked them.
Very true. But even without that, I think they're just growing more and more fear and fearful, and that's why they're getting more and more vile. It's like, you know, what did this guy do to you? What did we do to you? You know, they need someone to beat on because they know that the GOP has sold them down the river.
Sure.
They know it.
And, you know, that was the very thing that they were accusing Ron Paul supporters of back in 08 and all through the campaign this time around, of, you know, just being mean and rude and violent and all this crap. And, you know, look, I attended all the conventions and stuff here in Georgia. I was a delegate. And, yeah, we would stand up when we were being run over, but I did not see a single solitary person who was supporting Ron Paul do anything, and I mean anything, rude, obnoxious, or even approaching the level of rudeness that I saw from the rank and file GOP folks. We were absolutely railroaded in 2008. We learned a lot in the 2008 election cycle. And, you know, when we saw what was going on, I mean, you go back to Nevada, all right? In Nevada, hey, Jomer, in Nevada during their state convention, it became painfully obvious that the Ron Paul people had a majority in 2008. They cut the power to the building.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, during their Nevada state convention, they cut power to the damn building where they were holding the convention. And so they had to call the convention, and they sent out emails to all the rank-and-file GOPers telling them, hey, we're going to reconvene the convention tomorrow at this location, and, of course, didn't tell anyone else.
Hmm.
And that was just one of the shenanigans. And the stuff this time around was blatant. We actually had our former chairman stand up and, you know, up at the podium and told a member to sit down and shut the hell up. They're supposed to be decorum in these things. There's supposed to be rules. And we saw at the national convention in Tampa that the rules got thrown right out the damn window.
Well, and that's what set me off on my very next show. I mean, you were there. I'm surprised I got through my show without having a heart attack. I mean, they absolutely just crushed, you know, the grassroots people. And then, you know, when you listen to other programs here in BTR, and they call themselves constitutionalists and take the country back, which is Hillary Clinton's rhetoric, and I didn't know what that meant then, and I don't know what it means now. And then to just surrender into the rank and file, it's beyond pathetic. Really beyond pathetic.
They wouldn't comprehend what's in the Constitution if they read the damn thing. You know?
Yeah, but you don't even have to. Just by what they did on the surface, just by what they did. You don't have to be an expert. Just by what they did, you know that they sold out the grassroots movement, which some people on this forum say they're part of.
There's no doubt.
And then you're gonna comply with that. You don't have to comply with that.
There's no doubt. They sold out all the Rick Santorum supporters, all the Michelle Bachmann supporters. You know, not that I was behind either one of those people. Mm-hmm. I think they had the right idea for the country. They're too much of a politician. They're too much of the compromise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Strategy or mentality.
Right. Well, that's how Romney was able to just destroy Santorum on the last televised debate. He just tore him up over Planned Parenthood, and you could see it on Ricky's face.
Oh, yeah.
He just wanted to get out of it because he got destroyed. But the same thing's happening with Paul Ryan. I mean, more and more every day is coming out how this man has just sold out the American people.
Yep.
Sold them out.
If you remember back to some of the first debates when Rick Perry was still in the hunt.
Yep.
Okay? Perry had the chance. He had the opportunity to stand up and show that he was a man. And he waffled. Mm. When Romney challenged him on the idea that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. And he said, I didn't say that. And I'm sitting there screaming. I'm like, you know, I knew you were a spineless coward. But, dude, the least you can do is stand up and say, well, you're damn right it's a Ponzi scheme. And if you can't recognize that, then you shouldn't be president of the United States.
And it's funny you mentioned Ponzi schemes because Mitt Romney's son, Tag, is under investigation for associating with people that did construct the Ponzi scheme.
Well, you know, and kind of back to, segueing into the whole Ponzi scheme, and we were talking earlier in the chat room about the $16 trillion national debt. I posted an article and sent it out to a few. I subscribe and get newsletters from the Von Mises Institute, which is just over the line here in Alabama. And there was an article by a gentleman talking about what we're not paying attention to, and that is the growth in obligations or liabilities, unfunded liabilities, through Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And while everyone's focused on the fact that we had a $1.6 trillion budget deficit and that we grew the national debt by $3.5 trillion, nobody's paying attention to the fact that in the last year, our obligations under Social Security grew by $11 trillion.
Hmm.
And guess what? They're going to grow by another $11 trillion next year. And $12.3 trillion the year after that. So, while everybody's focused on this other crap, the IOUs are piling up at breakneck speed. Meanwhile, you've got the Fed going out and buying up property via treasury bonds that are going to be funded through the back door with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So you're going to have the federal government through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac owning a whole crap load of real estate.
Hmm.
And I should mention that the whole process is unconstitutional.
Well, I've said that as well, Ron, that the government as a whole, up and down, has committed treason. It's a defunct government. It's an illegal government. And throw in what you want to throw in. Fast and Furious, the NDAA, Patriot Act, the Obama mandate. Just throw it all in one big soup. But just in principle, if not in literal terms, the government, all three branches, have committed treason. It's a hostile government. It's a revolting government.
Well, it's certainly
that's my
hostile
opinion.
Yeah, I mean, they declared us the enemy a long damn time ago.
Well, now it's like a chess game, and we're in check. I don't know how anyone does not want to see it, and I understand that it's scary stuff, and it's easy to deny. But because when you deny, you comply. So, and then there'll be a point where you're just not going to be able to deny it anymore, and it'll be too late.
Well, and you know, I mean, I honestly feel sorry for some of these people because they cannot, they are incapable of seeing reality, and they become cheerleaders. My God, in 2008, I promise you, there were a whole cadre of GOP faithful that really had a tough time holding their nose and casting a vote for John McCain.
Hmm.
I mean, the guy's a retard. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to call it.
Man, please stop giving him a compliment, would you?
Yeah, I hate to degrade all the people that are mentally retarded out there, but you know, I think I put Joe Biden in that same category.
Yeah, well, he's just one big laugh, but
well, I think Biden's playing the. I think Obama's playing the straight man. You got a little comedy skit going there.
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, and they throw Biden out there every once in a while just to toss everybody off the trail and, you know, point fingers and laugh. George Bush was the comedy guy, and Cheney was the straight man, you know?
Yeah.
It was pretty easy to dislike Cheney.
Yeah, it was. Well, that guy's
Darth Vader.
That guy's just a monster. I mean, you know. Of course, we're 9/11 truthers, so we can't talk about, you know, that he was running drills in Manhattan on that
morning.
That's the other
thing.
You know, not allowed to do that. You know.
That's the other thing that kills me with all this, you know, with the debate that we got into with Stephen and just the vicious garbage that was coming out of the chat room with the deniers. And again, you know, it's one of those. That's why I was trying to say, hey, look, guys, we don't have to get into the weeds and try and, you know, read the damn tea leaves to find out who was responsible, what did they have to gain, you know, while it's be the biggest conspiracy in the world, how could you keep it secret? You know, I don't even care about all that. All I'm saying is if you look at the factual, physical evidence from a pragmatic standpoint, not an emotional one, just look at the facts. They don't add up to the official story. They just don't.
And how could I would like someone to justify the fact that NORAD never gave a response, but 67 previous planes going off course. They responded instantly. And as a matter of fact, you correct me if I'm wrong, they even shot one down.
I can tell you exactly why they didn't give a response, and I think you already know that. And that's because the protocol was changed.
And why would you, all of a sudden, and it just happens to be, the one time you change protocol, we have the biggest disaster in our history. Now, people want to say, well, that's luck of the
that's
break,
just,
you know,
well,
coincidence.
Yeah,
sure, right.
Sure, they had inside information. You know, that these Muslim cave dwellers over there with Osama bin Laden, they had tapped into, they must have hacked into the Pentagon database because for some reason they knew that NORTHCOM would be running joint drills on that day and that the entire North American air defense, save a few, would be flying a pretend war game where we were going up over Canada because the Russians were going to bomb the U.S. That was the game they were playing, which goes back to what Ron Paul said in the debate, that we're still building aircraft to fight World War II. Because we're still playing this, Soviet invasion from the Bering Strait. And, come on, let's get real. That coupled with the fact that, we changed the protocol for intercepting wayward aircraft. I guess maybe the Payne Stewart situation exposed a weakness. I mean, my God, here you've got a golfer in a private Gulfstream jet who goes off air, and within 15 minutes he's being shadowed by an F-16.
Hmm.
But we can't catch four commercial airliners that stray off, the transponders are off, everything's turned off, and they fly around, 45 minutes to an hour with no intercept. It doesn't add up.
And the fact that their transponders were all of a sudden, turned off, it doesn't raise a signal. No, but it's just a coincidence. If people can live with that, fine, it's a coincidence. It's just,
At the very least, people ought to be lining up in Washington, D.C. and saying, what the hell are all my tax dollars spent on? And why have we spent all this money, billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars on a strategic air defense if it's completely friggin' worthless?
Yeah, and then you fast forward to September 11th, 2012, and now there's no way that this government can deny the fact that they had heads-up notice that these riots, these attacks, these warlike attacks were going to take place, and they still provided no security, no evacuation, no extra Marines, nothing. But we're led to believe that this war on terror is keeping the country safer and secure. It's just another dose.
That whole war on terror thing pisses me off to no end. One of the things I heard so frequently when Bush was still in office after 9/11, after they passed the Patriot Act, if I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times, and it made me just want to rip someone's esophagus out for even repeating it. Well, we haven't been attacked since 9/11. Well, we haven't had another 9/11 since we got the Patriot Act. I mean, for crying out loud. It just makes me want to beat my head against the wall. This so-called justification. And you look at these lame-ass supposed terrorist attacks. The shoe bomber. The underwear bomber. The friggin' Fort Dix 6. The damn Christmas tree bomber out in Washington State. And you got to shake your head. I mean, you got to be an idiot not to see through what's going on.
We haven't had another September 11th, 2001, because there doesn't need to be. Mission accomplished.
Exactly.
You've got your suppressive legislature, and you have your never-ending military-industrial complex war in the Middle East, which now, any president, and Romney is even going to take away Obama's supposed timetable. He said it so many times. Well, we shouldn't have a timetable. That to me, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little messed up. That tells me he wants to just keep it going. So you don't need another 2001. You've got what you wanted.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, just it's aggravating. It's just aggravating.
It is. It's just pathetic. And then to see the sheeple just put on their wool coats and just follow all along right into it, and yet they call themselves constitutional fighters and all the other patriotic nonsense, and yet they're falling right in line. It's beyond laughable. It's laughable. That's my take.
Hey, if you I hate to put you on the spot, but my grandkids just walked in. You mind taking over for just about 5 minutes?
5 minutes I can, yes. I can
okay.
do that.
Great. I just want to say hey to everybody. All right, so I'll be back. Give me about 5.
Sure, no problem. So the latest on the Mitt Romney situation, and I want to focus on him, not because, you know, it's a tactic of, you know, not speaking about Obama. If we don't know by now what Obama and Democrats represent, then I don't know where we've been for the last 4 years. There's really, it's not necessary to even deal with Barack Obama. But another thing I think, just food for thought, is that Romney's tax returns for 2011 just came out, and it shows that he has quite the investment in Chinese oil. Yet he says that he's going to be tough on China. And here's just food for thought. Would you really be tough on China? Are we to trust him to be tough on China when he has such big Chinese investments? Wouldn't you take that as a conflict of interest? And now he calls himself the pro-life president. Yet, he has investments in the Plan B pill, which, as we know, is the morning after pill. And so we're going to be led to believe that he's pro-life, yet he has investments in the morning after pill. And I think that is something to definitely take a look at. And Paul Ryan was interviewed by Chris Wallace over the weekend. And Paul Ryan was pressed again and again, give us your tax plan. What is it? And Mr. Ryan's response was, well, I don't have time to go into the math. Well, no one's asking for the mathematical equation. We're asking for the answer. We're not asking for some theory. We are asking for the answer. And he couldn't provide it. So I guess then the question is his answer any different from Nancy Pelosi saying, well, we have to pass Obamacare before we can find out what's in it? Why isn't that the same thing? So we have to elect Romney and Ryan to see what their tax plan is. Does anyone else have a problem with that? I certainly do. And I think that's why people have the notion, who don't look past their nose, that Obama has character. I was in Sam's Club yesterday, and I don't like going to that complex because they're practices. But, you know, we have two twins coming. We were desperate to stock up, but I sure don't want to go back there anytime soon. And my wife and I ran into a neighbor that Melissa knows, and he said that, well, I'm voting for Obama again. Obama has character. And I said, well, did you see the movie 2016? And he said, no. I said, well, I think you need to see 2016. And he says, what, that scare movie? Is it no scare movie? It's Obama's words himself. But here's the thing. At least Obama admits that he's a communist. He didn't run away from his distribute the wealth comment. He hasn't run from giving everybody a fair shot, from taking people who are earning money and giving it to those who aren't. At least he has the guts to admit it. Whereas we have Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan caught in hypocrisy and contradiction. They even contradict each other. Paul Ryan paid for defense cuts. Rather, he voted for defense cuts. Mitt Romney criticized them. So they're not even on the same page. And this is why, folks, as I've said, we do have a choice. We do not have to comply to this fake, phony, two-party system. That we have no choice but to not compromise our ideals. And I will not compromise mine. Now, I think, Ron, did you just come back?
I did.
All right. It's all yours, brother.
Well, man, you were rolling pretty good.
Thanks.
I didn't get to hear what you were talking about. Sorry about that. I don't
normally
jump out of the show here.
No, it's fine. No, I just talked about Mitt Romney's Chinese oil investments, his investment in Plan B, yet he's the pro-life president, and how Chris Wallace was slamming Paul Ryan in an interview, and that Paul Ryan he was asked three times, give us what the tax breaks are, what they're going to amount to, and of course Ryan says, well, I don't have time to go through the math. So I said, well, so what is any difference between that answer and Nancy Pelosi saying, well, we have to pass Obamacare to see what's in it? Like what's the difference? I don't see a difference.
Yeah, there is no difference.
Thank
and
you.
I got
right.
news for you from what I've seen coming out of the articles from the Romney-Ryan camp. They're not really contemplating any tax cuts that I could see. Romney was quoted as saying that he would be in favor of a VAT tax, a value-added tax, of course, to replace the corporate income tax. And that's one, you know, the corporate income tax is one that always gets me cranked up because people don't seem to understand that corporations don't pay taxes. They simply transfer the money from the consumer to the government. They just act as a middleman. So while they do transfer money to the Treasury Department, they're just unpaid tax collectors, and they're collecting that tax from all of us. Whenever we purchase any products, it's built into the price.
Well, it's just wow. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's true, but then they use that as an excuse of offshoring jobs, which is complete and utter horse manure. Offshoring jobs has been the plan since at least the 1970s. Certainly,
mm-hmm.
It was being legs put on the idea in the 80s. You know, I talked before about UNIDO, which is the United Nations Industrialization Development Organization. And if you just look it up, go to the United Nations website, look up UNIDO, read their mission statement. Their whole purpose is to create industrial jobs, industrialization of third world countries.
Ron, I'm gonna have to cut out because I'm actually playing a pre-recorded show for a few days this week. It's actually the third hour of my show that went into archives, featuring all parties, including Mr. Jieske, because I think the people should hear exactly what took place. Those that couldn't hear it. Because, you know, the show only ran 2 hours live, so
right.
I have to run and crank that up. I'll be cranking that up a few times this week and just put it out there for the people to hear.
Absolutely, brother. Keep
all right,
up
my
the
friend.
Good work.
You too, and I'll see you tomorrow. And of course, I'll be live this Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time
going forward. Thanks for calling in and picking up the show for me.
You're very welcome, sir, anytime.
God bless you, brother.
You too, my friend. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, and that was my good friend Mike from the Hot Seat Left is Never Right. And it looks like I have Miss Linda Sills on the line from California, so I'm going to pick her up and see what's on her mind. Miss Linda, is that you?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I am happier than a pig in slop.
So am I, because I just had two wines at happy hour with my two girlfriends.
There you go. Well, I actually went to the gun show today down at the Atlanta Motor Speedway and bought a brand spanking new Armalite AR-10.
Oh, my God. I knew I was going to ask you what you bought. I knew you were going
to get something. I'm grinning ear to ear. Actually got a show deal because it was the last day of the show and there weren't many people there. And,
wow.
This particular unit actually had a scope mounted on it with a laser. And I got the whole thing for about $280 less than the price of the rifle if I were to go buy it at the store.
Oh, man. You need to transport your whole Liberty safe with everything you've got to Indiana when this thing breaks down, man. Oh, wow.
Well, when it breaks down, they won't be in the safe.
No, I know, but I mean, if you're traveling, it would be one way to get them all in one place. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
So how's the land of fruits and nuts today?
Oh, God. You know, I have a new name for Jerry Moonbeam Brown. Hugo Moonbeam Chavez Brown.
This guy
is absolutely the mini-me Il Duce. This guy, the stuff he's doing, I can't believe it. Especially he's doing exactly what Obama does with the press. He's shutting these people down and telling them to retract their stories and make new ones because they're all, Comcast is like taking 1,000 jobs out of the state of California. And they were telling the press why they were doing it. Of course, Brown wasn't happy with that. And he says, oh, you can't say things like that. Oh, yeah, they're trying to shut our free speech down. If you want to know what, we're not just living in Obama's second term. We're in Venezuela out here, man. This is bad.
Well, and, you know, from what I'm reading, Venezuela's having a bit of a revival over there with this newcomer that Chavez isn't real happy with because he's getting a lot of attention.
Oh, no. I haven't heard that part.
I don't know much about him other than, you know, he looks like a young, handsome young man, and he's getting a lot of support. I don't know if that bodes well for the people in Venezuela or not.
Who knows? Well, you know, they took out, who was it, Mubarak? And then they got the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, it's sick. I can't take these people anymore. That's why I go, I'm doing my local stuff, and I've got the whole month of October is insanity. I told my mom today, I said, and a couple other people, I said, well, the November 6th, because I'll be all day at the polls as a poll worker, and I'm going to get some two bottles of champagne and a whole vat of hemlock, because I don't know which one I'm going to be diving into. Probably both. But I did get a call from Yola today, and she's still in the hospital, but she sounded really good, and she's just trying to get well, man. So, you know, we're just praying for Bill and everybody that's, you know, Yo and everybody. So, yeah. You know, Yo, she's full of piss and vinegar, and I love her today for it. I think that's what
absolutely.
Keeps her going. And I've been putting out so many prayer chains and, you know, whatever I can do. I've been reading the Bible. I've been looking. You know, I found that one that you talked about when the dude in the disciple took the ear of the Roman off with the sword. I've got to get that one, too, and put that on my show on Wednesday because that was hot. So that was kind of neat. So, you know, all we can do is what we're doing. I just, like you said, I don't care if my neighbor does. As long as they're not injuring me, I don't care. I just want to encourage people to educate themselves. I mean, that's all. I don't want to use force. That's stupid.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
leave that up to Mal.
I'm just, you caught me mid-sip. I was, my wife went up to, we have a local festival up here every year, and she brought me home a great big bottle of homemade root beer. God, is that stuff good.
Nice.
But,
so,
you know, it's just, it's sad. It's very sad. And Green Dog put up in the chat room that your vote cannot save us now. And I question whether your vote ever could save us.
Oh,
quite
yeah.
honestly.
No, I know who my savior is, and I know exactly what he's got in mind. I do believe that he is not uninvolved in the affairs of men. I'm telling you. I think, you know, you see miracles every day, Ron. You see it in your own family. So I think he's going to, you know, he wants to help us in this battle one way or another. I think he'll do it. If we turn to him, he'll do it. We have to show him whose side we're on. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, Green Dog, and I'm going to step in for Linda here for just a second since I know you're not in the chat. Linda doesn't think force is stupid. She just says she'd prefer not to use force. But unfortunately, you know, it looks more and more every day like it's probably going to come down to that.
Well,
I'm not going to...
Yeah, but you know, I'm not saying if they come at me and I can't have... Oh, I will use self-defense for my life, absolutely.
I know that. Wholeheartedly.
I'm talking about that, you know, the ideology that we're dealing with people that have been doing this since Babylon and probably since the Garden, where they want to put the barrel of the gun to your head and force you to eat certain foods and not do this and do that. You can't drive a car and you can't have private property. Well, I got news for them. Ain't working.
Yeah, so. I agree. And you know, it's sad that the only mentality that seems to prevail in society is, you know, you just beat the hell out of the guy that disagrees with you. Beat him into submission or you kill him.
That's not, you know, there's a lot to be said for the Christ-like I'm following and the Gandhi and the Martin Luther King. I mean, look what Martin Luther King did. He was great at what he did. He hated violence. He used to browbeat in with words his own family. What about nonviolence? Don't you get, man? He says, let the press show the picture of them doing it to us often enough, and the word will get out. So
and we've got another we've got another caller on the line. 941, you're on.
That's Robert.
That's me. What's going on?
The wandering Jew, Mr. Robert Kaplan. How are you, sir?
I'm not wandering. I'm celebrating my last day of 56 years old.
Well, happy birthday. You and Rod Luke both, huh?
Wow.
What day is his on the 1st?
I don't know. I think today is Rod Luke's birthday. So.
Oh, my Lord.
Happy birthday to you and Rod Luke. If Rod's listening, I know we've got a couple of numbered guests up there. So,
yeah.
Robert, are you having a BLT?
I'm just contemplating over what has transpired this past year. I guess it's on the ballot in Florida. Did you hear?
No. What?
Roseanne Barr is on the ballot for the Green Party in Florida.
Well, now she's got to get your vote, Robert.
You know, she basically summed it up in a nutshell. She summed up the whole summation pretty well. Legalize pot and make war illegal.
Well, you know that she may be onto something there.
Yeah.
You know, let's all get stoned and be happy. I think that's quite a plan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm still a Ron Paulian. That's it.
Well, I don't know if Ron Paul's going to be in the ballot in Florida or not, Linda. I haven't even seen the ballot.
You know, as I said on a previous show, I support the ideas that Ron Paul put forth. I think they're correct, and I think the solution is correct. However, I am actually glad that Ron Paul did not get the nomination, and I'm glad that he's not going to be president, because whoever becomes president is going to take the blame for what's coming down the road. Whatever party that president is affiliated with is going to take the blame. And, you know, they're both to blame. We all are to blame. We all are to blame.
Yeah, well.
You know?
Yeah. I've realized what I've done in my lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, none of us are without fault, and many of the people that are awake right now didn't have their eyes open a few years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 or 30 years ago.
Right.
If we had had our eyes open, you know, when we were in grade school, the culture in this country would look a hell of a lot different, and so would the political
landscape. I agree.
But it doesn't,
yeah.
And it isn't, and it's not going to change anytime soon. You know, I was just reading the most recent poll, 43% favor Obama, 42% favor Romney. That doesn't speak very well for our society.
Well, that's the one that, those are the percentages, Ron. Those are the percentages that are likely to vote, most likely. Okay? They don't. I have not heard one polling. I haven't heard of a one poll to say, for instance, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you've heard it, but I haven't heard it. If they, since student loans are a major issue in this country, where student loans are going to be another, quote, Obama bailout, I have not heard one poll of the majority of the, quote, university system, whether or not, who would they likely be more to be president if they were voting today, who would they be voting for? Have y'all heard anything of that?
No, I haven't. And, you know, it wasn't all that long ago that Obama signed an executive order regarding college tuition. And we had a report Friday night during another program that, I'm sorry, Saturday on Michael Magic's program that, no, it was not either. I'm sorry, it was Friday night, that Fort Stewart, Georgia was placed on high alert.
Oh, wow.
But we couldn't find any confirmation or any information about it, and I found out today that it was true. Fort Stewart was placed on high alert, and now we know why. And the reason why is because Obama showed up to sign an executive order dealing with financial aid for college students, primarily those who are service related.
Uh-huh.
Oh, of course. Yeah, he's a panderer. I mean, God.
So, you know, we're just spreading the wealth around a little more, and I don't know if you guys were listening to the show earlier. I posted a link to an article specifically addressing the idea of the Obama phones.
And
unbeknownst to me, there is a charge on your phone bill, and the money that is put into that fund is used to subsidize cell phones around the country to the tune of $1.5 billion a year.
Well, we ought to rename Obama instead of him meeting with Pimp of the Limp. We ought to call him Pimp of the Limp. Man,
well, here's the thing. That program's been around for a long time. It's not an Obama program.
Yeah, this started way back. I know. I've read the articles of late on Facebook and other places. But I will tell you, I do believe that the because of the lame brain, you know, Marxist media, that the polls are skewed, and they're using models of 08, thinking that these people are going to come out for him. Even on Greta's show on the Twitter, where they have a Twitter feed, there was like six people in a row that said no. They used to be Democrats, and they will not vote for him again. This was like, practically, there's a lot of backlash. I think they're lying about the polls. That's what I think.
I don't think they're lying about the polls. I think the majority of likely voters aren't really excited about either one.
Yeah.
And I think you saw that during the Democrat National Convention and during the GOP convention.
Absolutely.
There was no excitement in the air. There was no electricity. And you know what you didn't see? You know what you absolutely did not see at the Democratic National Convention? You didn't see Obama walking out between the Greek Revival Roman columns and the smoke and the, you know. Yeah, they didn't want to make any reference to Greece or to Rome. None at all.
Well, please, both of you, though, there's a big billboard in, on the off the island before you cross the bridge. A big, big, huge billboard, Linda and Ron, says, "Repeal Obama." Not Obamacare, but repeal. I've never seen that in my entire lifetime.
Well,
so I guess there's hope here in Sarasota County.
It should say repeal Washington.
Well, that too. But,
yeah, first.
Well, I mean, you can't do that on the inside.
Right. Well, that's been proven. I think that's absolutely correct. That's been proven
that
you can't fix Washington from the inside. You know, and that's why I said I don't think that your vote ever had a chance of saving you. We've been voting for 235 years, and for 235 years we've been descending the path, not climbing. Robert, are you going to be okay? You doing some exercises or what?
No, I was just drinking some juice. I've been suffering. I had the worst intestinal flu you ever want to have this past week. Yeah, I'm just getting over it now, and now I have a terrible, and now it's spread to my ear, and I have a real bad, terrible ear infection, and I'm just going nuts right here, right now.
Bummer.
Well, yeah, it's a bummer. It's
you can't
because
change
all these,
it from,
huh?
You can't change DC from the inside, but you could from the outside with a few well-placed ICBMs.
See, you know what happens is these what she calls rich mosquitoes up north come down to Florida, and they come down with the flu, and they come here sick, you know, and then the snowbirds come down and get me sick, and I can't do my job. And that's the damn truth, Linda. It's awful.
Well, Robert, you got to quit hanging out with those damn snowbirds.
But there's no way they cough all over you, man. No matter where you go, they cough all over. They sneeze all over you. It's awful, man.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
That's the way it is in Florida.
Yeah.
It's the season to be jolly.
Yeah, you know, I was seeing a lot of those Michigan and Illinois license plates today as I was going down to the Atlanta Motor Speedway, and they were all headed south.
Oh, the Falcons had a good game today. Did you watch that game?
Robert, you know better than that. I don't watch any damn sports. It's very rare that I turn on the black box at all. It's very rare.
But that was a great game. They were losing, and they came back in the last 60 seconds. It was an unbelievable victory.
The way I see it, it's nothing but bread and circus.
I'm not interested in the games because, you know, it never did interest me that much. You know, the only time I get into the boob tube is when they have really, really cool artistic things going on because I do love the fine arts. It's just in my blood. But I like to watch the young kids dance and sing and stuff like that. So
if you really want to get aggravated and have your eyes pop out of your head, Mike over at the hot seat left is always right, is replaying the archive portion of his show from Friday.
Oh, wow.
And he had a guy on, goes by the name of G-Ski. And he really, Robert, turn that down or something.
I'll turn it off.
Man,
sorry.
Making all kinds of background noise there, brother. Mike's a pretty crafty guy, and he pretty well cornered G-Ski. G-Ski has his own BTR show and claims to be a defender of the Constitution. And he had really done some research on Ron Paul and was attempting to paint him in other than a a good light, trying to imply that he was a liar, basically, and deceptive. But, you know, Mike had confronted him, and what I thought was interesting is that G-Ski was singing the praises of Alan West. And Mike asked him point blank, he said, "So you support Alan West?" He said, "Absolutely." He said, "And you do know that he voted in favor of the NDAA." And he denied it. And then he stumbled and said, "Well, no, that's not what I said." He said, "There's more than one way of answering a question." No, in that instance, did you know that he voted in favor of NDAA? Yes or no? That's pretty straightforward. Then he went on to try and say that Ron Paul didn't bother showing up at all because he was too busy campaigning, therefore he was worse than Alan West. And I'm like, that is the most asinine. It's okay to vote against the Constitution. It's okay to commit an act of treason in office.
Oh, my God.
But it's not okay to not show up and vote, even though he voted no in absentia.
Right. And the other thing is, too, I'll bet that guy, G, whatever his name is, did not know the three people who did not vote for H.R. 347, and I can name them, and I can tell you what states they're from. I'll bet he doesn't know that either, and I was not in the archives.
He didn't care. See, that was the thing, that there was no way to get through that.
Right.
Ideology that he was espousing, what he was saying, even though he doesn't recognize that he was saying it or won't admit that that's what he was saying, that you are exonerating an act of treason,
right,
as okay, but the act of not showing up to vote as treasonous. I just don't get it. How you can't equate the two.
Well, you might as well give Connie back hands down on that note. He never shows up to vote.
Well, what I pointed out to him is that, you know, I said that would be like saying that Mike got a call that, hey, G-Ski's going to go to your house and shoot your wife, and Mike didn't show up because he didn't believe it or whatever.
Wow.
And G-Ski shows up and shoots his wife, and G-Ski gets off, and Mike he gets life in prison because he didn't show up.
Right, right.
And he said, "Oh no, that I'm not talking about a hypothetical." And I'm like, "Oh my God, we're running in circles here."
Jeez, unbelievable.
So if you get a chance, cruise over to the Hot Seat Left. As always, is never right, and he's playing that from the archives. That was a pretty good debate. You know, I tried to keep it on the level, but wow, it gets very frustrating when people, you know, when they say something out of their mouth and then they just simply refuse to acknowledge that that's what they're saying.
You know, Ron, we get into everybody gets into these weeds, and, you know, basically when we're talking about scripture and stuff and we understand what we're supposed to do, there's a time to be Gandhi, and then there's a time to damn turn the tables over in the temple.
that's absolutely true.
Oh, my gosh. And you need the wisdom to know the difference. Oi, I pray for it every night.
Yeah, I might say oi after you need the wisdom before the difference. you have to say oi.
You know, even walking around at the gun show today, and I'm looking at people and thinking, you know, I don't fit in. I just, I don't think two-thirds of the people there have a clue.
Yeah, that's sad. Oh, my gosh. That happens to me everywhere I go. It's like in California, I walk out the door, go to the supermarket, and, you know, they're like, they're drones, Ron. It's sad. They don't
Zombie.
Complain about the prices. I mean, nobody about it.
Zombie.
I can't. Yeah, they're like the cave dwellers in Plato's allegory. I'm telling you, it's so sad.
Yeah,
all I can do is what I'm doing.
Well, I say
I'm ready
zombies.
To build a bunker.
I say zombies. You know, earlier today or earlier in the show, I was telling when I was down at the gun show. There's been a lot of talk on the internet for years about the zombie apocalypse. and people buying the black rifles because it's the only thing that'll kill zombies. And one of the guys there was wearing a T-shirt, and I'm like, I got to get me one of those. And it says, I can't wait until you're a zombie.
You know what's been bothering me all week, Ron? There's two
intestinal
words.
Flu?
And besides that, I'm kind of glad I'm sick if you want to know the truth. But I've been hearing two buzzwords on the news all week. It's really bugging the hell out of me. And the two words I've been hearing is collectively and sharing. Collective and sharing. I've been hearing that all the time. You know, Linda, I've heard those two words all week long and ready to pull my hair. Well, who do I have to collect and who do I have to share to?
Robert,
I was going to say, if you were going to pull your hair, you'd have to have it cut first and then sweep it up off the floor.
Robert, if you want to understand the terminology you're speaking of, go on to Amazon and look up Robert Gallatly's book that I've read. I think it should be required reading by everyone who knows how to. I mean, it's replete, especially in the Soviet Union, for eons. From the time of the Bolshevik Revolution all the way to the end of World War II and beyond, believe me, those words are very, very... Where do you think those idiots at the Rio Summit in 1992 get their stupid buzzwords from? And it goes back to...
Please tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think... I mean, that's all I've heard all week, man. I'm just like...
I'll tell you something, Robert. I'm gonna email you this whole thing because you need
Please
to know
do.
This stuff. Go spend the money and get the damn thing and read it. It may take you 3 months to read it, but you will be so well educated on the BS that's coming down the pike and repeating history, you won't even believe it.
I might have to vote for Roseanne Barr in Florida.
I'm telling you, I think it'd be a good vote. Her, Gary Johnson.
At least I'm voting independent. And I'm standing my ground. I mean, I'm a registered...
Robert, you're not a member of the Electoral College, so, you know, whatever you want to do.
It doesn't matter, man, you know.
Yes, it does. Ron, explain to him how this works.
He knows how it works. He's just saying it doesn't matter, and you're right. It doesn't matter who you cast a vote for other than for your own personal conscience.
That's it.
My personal conscience is, you know, if you don't vote for the Mitt Romney and if you vote for the independents, it's a waste of vote. Either way, it's a waste of vote. Ron's right. What's the point of voting?
They're all wasted votes.
You could do a protest vote by voting for a Gary Johnson or, God forbid, a Roseanne Barr. you know, just as a protest, because all these people that are telling you, a vote for anyone but Romney is a vote for Obama, is just complete and utter garbage.
Yeah, it's garbage. Horse feathers.
The Electoral College just doesn't work that way. I'm sorry.
No. That's the whole point, you know, and it's nauseating, actually. It's nauseating that, but I know you're going to get ticked off, but I have to remind you of this. It's nauseating that I voted for the first time in my life, I voted for a Democrat. I voted for Al Gore and Lieberman for the first time in my life. That's how disgruntled I was back then. But yeah, I was basically disgruntled back in 1974. I saw the handwriting on the wall when I graduated high school. And it's just like I said, what kind of a country do I live in? I knew back then, Linda.
Okay.
I knew I wasn't a mosquito.
Let me ask you a question, Robert. Who's running for your city council and your mayor at your local assemblies and all those?
You know what, Linda? I have no bearings to do with the city council anymore, and I have nothing to do with the mayor anymore because they're a bunch of bastards anyhow, number one.
They kicked him out when he showed up in his towel and his six-shooter.
Let me tell you why, Linda. I get in their faces. I tell them not to raise the taxes. You know, 4 years ago we had a $2 million or a $3 million surplus in the city before one guy left. And that $3 million surplus went down to, I mean, they're raising taxes on us down here. Just the same as what you're going through. And they're beautifying all of the city of Venice. And, you know, Ron's been in this town. It's a nice looking town. But we're paying taxes for it. Everywhere, right. You know, I mean,
well,
it's just that they're making life difficult for people
right.
who live in the city. They're making life difficult for people who try to remodel their home. Everything
right.
you have to do, if you have to change a light bulb, you have to get a damn building permit.
That's the EPA too. I know.
Yeah.
But listen. Do you ever go to the rotundas inside your city council and speak publicly?
I've tried two or three. I ran for city council back in 1994.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
then, tough. Then, I they, know. Then they talked me out of it. I got talked out of it twice.
The bottom line,
they're afraid of me, Linda.
They're
scared of my mouth, and they don't want to hear my voice anymore.
Okay,
guys,
here's the thing.
Guys, we got like 2 minutes left here, so.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking my call, but you got to get involved, Robert, because, in my town, I can reach out and slap these guys. I can't reach out to Sacramento, and I can't go to D.C. and put them into next week like I'd like to, but you can make a difference. You do it long enough, and you get enough people behind you, and, you get the newspapers on your side. It'll work.
Linda, there's no problem for me. There's no problem for me getting 2,500 or 3,000 signatures. I can get 3,000 signatures in a heartbeat. I just don't have the money to run.
Okay,
that's my problem.
Yeah,
anyway,
thank you so much, guys.
No problem, Linda.
And I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, guys.
Thanks for calling in. God bless.
God bless.
Robert, thank
yes,
you
sir.
For calling in, sir.
I will. Thank you, Rob.
I always appreciate the support, and God bless you, and I hope you get feeling better, sir.
Oh, yes. Just drink lots of fluids and don't let anybody cough and sneeze all over you.
There you go.
That's the only way to stay safe.
Take care, man.
You too, man. Later.
All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, and that's going to wrap us up. I got about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. Sorry that I didn't put on a better show for you, but I think tomorrow's show will be a little better. Maybe. I don't know. We'll just have to see what kind of mood I'm in. But tomorrow night, right here at Patriot Families, we'll have yours truly doing the Constitution Hour. Then Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have Mr. Bill Strong with Patriot Families Chat. Wednesday, we will have the lady caller from California, the lovely Miss Linda Sills, doing Right from the Left Coast. And then on Thursday, we have Miss Terry Rowland with Patriot Education. And if you've never tuned in to listen to Terry's show, she is absolutely fantastic. A must listen. Fridays, we usually go hang out and listen to Mike with The Hot Seat Left is Never Right. And then Saturday, we're back here at 7 p.m. for Mr. Michael Magic and Exposing the Illusion. I just want to thank you guys again for tuning in. You know, you guys are the reason that I do these shows. I want to see folks out there listening, hopefully maybe even learning something. I know tonight's show wasn't terribly instructive, but I usually try to give some good information out there and get people involved in the conversation. So God bless you guys for tuning in, and have a great night. Peace out.